am not ashamed of the good news about salvation through Messiah Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, because this message is the power of Almighty God to bring salvation to everyone who believes the truths of this message, first to the Jewish people and then to the Gentiles. Greetings, this is Rabbi Loren coming to you live by Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher. And we have Rabbi Glenn with us today, not in studio, but Rabbi Glenn is coming to us over the phone. Shalom, Rabbi Glenn.
Hey, Rabbi Loren, good to be with you today.
And good to have you on Jesus Made Me Kosher. Rabbi Glenn, we're going to talk about a series of articles and responses that just started on the webpage of Christianity Today. Christianity Today is probably the most influential Christian magazine in the United States. And Christianity Today began a series of articles and responses between David Brickner, who is the executive director of Jews for Jesus, and John Piper, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis. John Piper is one of the prominent evangelical Christian pastors in the United States. And they're addressing the issues of, do the Jewish people have a divine right to the land of Israel? And so this is part one of a conversation between John Piper and David Brickner, the director of Jews for Jesus. What do you think, Rabbi Glenn?
Well, you know, the Lord says that the earth and everything in it is his, and so it is his to do with as he sees fit. I think that's the, and I think both Dr. Piper and David Brickner completely agree on that. And there's a lot of agreement as well. There's some areas of disagreement. But if we proceed from the idea that the earth is the Lord and everything in it, then he has the right to apportion it out as he sees fit. And he did, in a covenant with Abraham, give that land to the Jewish people in perpetuity. So I guess the real question is it a matter of divine right or, as David puts it, divine mercy?
Well, good question. Here's how Christianity Today introduces it. Do the Jewish people have a divine right to the promised land? Are American pastors dismissive of Arab Christians in Israel? Should Christians treat the Israeli-Palestinian dispute differently than other conflicts? And so this is part one. This is David Brickner's initial article. It was published yesterday on the Christianity Today website. And what I'd like to do, Rabbi Glenn, is read through this article, and then you and I will comment on it. And I like the way, I'm just going to start off by saying I like the way this article is written. David and John Piper, as you said, Rabbi Glenn, agree on a lot, but they have some disagreements, but they handle their areas of disagreement in a really peaceful way. That's a great example for all of us.
I agree. The congeniality between them is very obvious, and it really shows that as believers, we can disagree on matters, even weighty matters, and yet still be operating out of love and respect for one another.
I agree. So let's start with the article. It starts off, Dear John. So, Rabbi Glenn, this is a Dear John letter.
Yeah.
Dear John, it's an honor to dialogue with you on the important and timely subject of Israel-Palestine, the land and the people. I am deeply aware of your uncompromising commitment to the cause of Christ among all peoples, including the Jewish people. The opportunities you have consistently extended to Jews for Jesus to share our ministry with the family at Bethlehem Baptist Church, and the way you have stood your ground in supporting Jewish evangelism, even after receiving considerable pressure from Jewish community leaders, speaks volumes. There can be no doubt that what we share in common is far greater than the areas where we may disagree. I like the way David started that letter, Rabbi Glenn. It sets a very nice tone, commending him, complimenting John Piper on the good things that he's been doing, standing for the Lord and for the gospel and Jewish evangelism.
Agreed. And, you know, in this day and age of political correctness, for a high-profile pastor to willingly make a public stand in favor of Jewish evangelism is to risk a lot of disfavor, not only in the press, but just among society in general. So, you know, Dr. Piper is a really great man of God, and we certainly appreciate him.
Good point. All right, let's continue with David's letter. Yet, if I understand your views regarding the modern state of Israel and its current conflict with its neighbors correctly, I do have some real concerns, particularly in light of the current political climate. And then he says the UN vote on Palestinian statehood, as well as a growing trend among certain Christian polemicists against Israel. A polemicist is a person who makes a very strong verbal argument, a very strong verbal attack against another idea or party. So there is a growing trend among certain Christian polemicists against Israel. I believe our exchange will demonstrate to readers that despite the heated arguments that occur at the poles of the Christian positions on these issues, there is a broad middle ground where the majority of us can stand and exchange our views in an ironic, which means peaceful and thought-provoking way. Any comments, Rabbi Glenn?
No, I just think this is the right way we should go about things. And our listeners to Jesus Made Me Kosher, and by the way, if you're just tuning in, we're reading this article from Christianity Today, an exchange between David Brickner and Dr. John Piper about the question, do Jews have a divine right to Israel's land? You know, there's a candor here, and yet there's a congenial tone. I'm just so impressed with the way both of them handled this.
Yes, and then he goes on to say, I have recently read your article for World Magazine, along with sermons you preached at Bethlehem Baptist Church, and more recently from a blog, and so I'm basing this exchange on the basis of your writings. I appreciate your clear statement of belief in God's continuing purposes for ethnic Israel. And I guess, Rabbi Glenn, by ethnic Israel, David means the Jewish people. So I appreciate your clear statement of belief in God's continuing purposes for the Jewish people. I also note that you affirm God promised to Israel the presently disputed land from the time of Abraham onward. And yet there seems to be a disconnect between those statements and your comments regarding the present-day situation as well as the future. As I see it, this disconnect occurs at two important points. First, you say that because the majority of Jews do not believe in Jesus, they have broken covenant with God and have no divine claim at this time to the land that God promised them. So, Rabbi Glenn, that seems to be David's first critique of John Piper, that because the majority of Jewish people don't believe in Messiah, they have broken their covenant with God and have no divine right to the land of Israel at this time.
And in a sense, we could agree that divine right is one thing, God's mercy is quite another. And what I find a little surprising, Rabbi Lauren, is that covenant theologians, those who tend to see God working in a consistent way rather than emphasizing the dispensations, they tend to look at a uniformity and a consistency, not a dichotomy, but really a consistency in the way God is doing things. I wonder if they would be willing to take the same approach with our covenant in Yeshua, that if we sin or we do something that breaks that suddenly we are out. I hardly think they would argue that way, and yet where Israel is concerned, it seems to be a different standard.
Interesting, Rabbi Glenn. So David is critiquing John Piper that basically, and Rabbi Glenn, this is not just John Piper saying this. You know, a lot of Christian theologians have said this over the years, that because the Jewish people did not recognize the time of our visitation, we didn't recognize, at least the majority of us, didn't recognize that Yeshua is the Messiah. We were exiled from our land, and therefore, you know, God's kind of finished with the God's finished with the Jewish people, and we have no right to the land of Israel anymore. So,
well, you know, we don't have the right to anything. Nobody has the right to anything in the bigger scope of things, but God graciously gives us so much better than what we deserve. But again, John Piper ordinarily would stress the continuity of God's dealings, yet when it comes to Israel, it's a more of a discontinuity. Also, Rabbi Lorne, it raises another question. He's suggesting that Israel broke covenant by not believing in Messiah Yeshua. It seems to me that Israel never entered that covenant to begin with.
Which covenant, Rabbi Glenn?
The new covenant. It's not as though Israel collectively said, yes, we believe in Messiah Yeshua, and then later changed their mind. It's almost as the insinuation is that we willingly entered that covenant and then broke it, but the vast majority of Jewish people across the ages have continued to disbelieve in Yeshua.
I'm not sure exactly what you're saying. We didn't break the new covenant because we never entered the new covenant. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you can't break a covenant you never agreed to in the first place.
But in I mean, that's true. But in a sense, if God sends the Jewish Messiah, Jesus, and he's the savior of the world and he lives a flawless life and, you know, fulfills the prophecies, and the majority of the people reject him and our, you know, our leaders wind up having him crucified, that is a rejection. It is a denial of God. It is a rejection of God himself on some level.
Oh, sure. I'm not denying that. It definitely is. I'm just saying that, you know, Israel entered a covenant with God at Sinai and said, yes, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. I mean, there was a formal entering into a covenant, and covenants really are formal things. But there was never that same kind of national entering into a covenant with Yeshua. So agreed, Israel missed the boat. Israel lost out on the blessings that might have been theirs for a time. But in a sense, it's a mistake to equate the two and say this is that. There are real differences, and that's part of what our dispensational look at Scripture kind of highlights.
Well, let me ask you a question, Rabbi Glenn. If the Sinai covenant, the covenant that came to us through Moses, let's call it the Mosaic covenant or the Sinai covenant, it contains messianic prophecies that, you know, the Torah, in a sense, is incomplete and that the Messiah is going to come. I mean, there are some key messianic prophecies in the Torah. Isn't it a breaking of the Sinai covenant if Messiah actually comes, of which the Sinai covenant talks about, and the majority of the Jewish people reject him? Isn't that a breaking of the Sinai covenant? So in a sense, a breaking of a covenant.
Very good. That's a good point, and I think you're right. I think there is. And Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19 is, I think, what you had in mind there. Moses says God is going to raise up a prophet like me from among you, and you must listen to him. And, you know, this is the covenant to which Israel said, all that the Lord has said we will do. So, yeah, you're right.
Okay. All right. So David tells John that you say that because the majority of Jewish people don't believe in Jesus, they have broken covenant with God and have no divine claim to the land of Israel at this time. Second, David says that John is saying that the future of the land promised to Israel becomes subsumed under the promise of God that all believers will inherit the land because the entire new heavens and new earth will be ours. So these are the two critiques that David is making against John, that because the majority of Jewish people don't believe in Jesus, they have broken covenant with God and have no right to the land. And because, number two, that there's a greater promise of God that all believers will inherit the land, and so that kind of overshadows the land promise of Israel and the Jewish people. David continues, I believe that these views can potentially undermine Christian confidence in the ongoing election of Israel based on the Abrahamic covenant and give encouragement to those who have adopted a replacement theology position toward Israel today. Any comments, Rabbi Glenn?
Well, David has really properly expressed the concern there that if we minimize the very real promises concerning the land, to a very specific group of people, the Jewish people, and just sort of throw it under the larger rubric of, well, one day all the people of God will inherit the land, it does minimize the very specific promise, and we need to be careful not to do that.
You're listening to Rabbi Lorne and Rabbi Glenn on Jesus Made Me Kosher. We're talking about the series of exchanges that Christianity began yesterday on their website between David Brickner, the executive director of Jews for Jesus, and John Piper, prominent pastor in the United States. David goes on to say that, "I agree with you that Israel does not currently enjoy a divine right to the land, but I would argue that it has never been by divine right, but rather by divine mercy that Israel has lived in the land." So, Rabbi Glenn, not divine right, but as you said before, divine mercy. God blessed Abraham in the land he had promised him, though Abraham at times acted in unbelief and at times had to fight for his land and at one point even paid for his land. Which is similar, Rabbi Glenn, to the experience of the Jewish people today. David's making a parallel between Abraham's experience and Israel's experience today. Abraham acted in unbelief. Abraham at times had to fight for the land. Even Abraham wound up paying for this promised land, the cave of Machpelah, when he needed to bury his wife.
Yeah, which he bought from the sons of Heth, later the Hittites. So, yeah, absolutely. There's always been a struggle there. And Abraham did blow it at times. So I guess the real question is it a matter of he deserves it or God gives us better than what we deserve?
Mm. Similarly, for much of the biblical record, Israel lived in the land of Israel while rebellious and breaking the Mosaic covenant. Yet God was merciful and allowed the Jewish people to remain in the land despite our unbelief. He did this because of his gracious promise to Abraham and his descendants. Why could God not act the same in our present day situation? What do you think, Rabbi Glenn?
Yeah, that's the exact question. God doesn't change, and I know Dr. Piper doesn't believe that God has changed, and the same gracious God who gave Abraham better than what he deserved, gave Israel better than what we deserve, gives you and me in Messiah so much better than we deserve, it would certainly be consistent of him to continue to act in grace rather than by just deserts.
David goes on in this article, "While God declared that his judgment on Israel for her unbelief would include removal from the land, God also promised he would regather his people to that land, not based on divine right, but again, as a result of his mercy. Could God, in his mercy, allow Israel to be regathered to the land, although in unbelief?" David goes on to say, "I believe he could. In fact, it would appear the scriptures imply that Israel will indeed be back in the land in unbelief prior to the return of Christ." Well, Rabbi Glenn, you and I have been talking a lot about this over the past, month or so.
Oh, absolutely. Ezekiel chapter 36 and 37 make the case for just that very scenario, and we're living to see it happen. The Jewish people are back in the land of Israel, largely in unbelief, and so the bones have been regathered, and the flesh and the sinew, it's all there, but still not the life, and so we're waiting for that day still.
David goes on, "Could present-day Israel be uprooted once again from the land because of her unbelief? I would have to say yes, though I hope that won't happen. There is a growing remnant of believers in Jesus in the land of Israel, and God has consistently extended mercy on behalf of the remnant of his people." So, Rabbi Glenn, David is arguing that there's a messianic Jewish remnant in Israel right now, and God likes to favor the nation of Israel because of a faithful remnant. And, you and I, in a sense, and the messianic Jewish believers are the faithful remnant of Israel today. What do you think?
Yes, and And that doesn't mean, you know, and David isn't suggesting that because there is a remnant, now we really do have a divine right to it. It always comes back to mercy. But I think David is right to point out that there is a remnant. And frankly, even when Israel was in the land in ancient times, it was a remnant that really was following the Lord. So it's always been about the remnant.
David goes on, Paul makes much of the theology of the remnant in asserting that God has not forsaken his people. So the future of ethnic Israel, the Jewish people, is indeed bright, just as God has promised, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. But surely that bright future must also include the fulfillment of the specific land promises God has made to Abraham and his descendants as well. To imagine that God's very specific promises are subsumed in his wider promise that all believers will inherit the new heavens and the new earth makes it seem as though God is reinterpreting his original promise so as to effectively make its original meaning null. What do you think, Rabbi Glenn?
Yeah, it's true. We don't want to minimize a very specific and geographically oriented promise that God made. God makes specific promises. We should take him at his word.
Yes, and then David goes on to say that, you know, because God promised us this beautiful home in the future for all believers, it doesn't mean that, you know, people have a right, other people have a right to the land of Israel today, you know, and I agree with that. I've used that argument myself. Any final thoughts, Rabbi Glenn, about David's first article in Christianity Today about do the Jewish people have a divine right to the land of Israel?
Well, if being in the land is contingent upon being in a right relationship with God, and that's the only way you'll ever have the right, what does that say for believers in Jesus? The first time we sin, are we then ejected from the new covenant? Is our salvation dependent on how well we perform? And, you know, if we hold to a continuity of the covenants, then it seems to me that what Rabbi Paul said, it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy, it seems that the thing resolves fairly easily. I think the problem is there seems to be occasionally this double standard where for the church, we get the grace. For Israel, they have to deserve it. And then the last thing, Rabbi Lorne, I would say on this is I was just reading Joel chapter 3 this afternoon, and in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, God says, "For behold, in those days and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and there I will enter into judgment with them on behalf of my people and my inheritance Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they have divided up my land." And so, you know, God has an opinion on this, and I think as nearly as possible, we want to be on the same page with him.
Rabbi Glenn, I think the answer is no, not divine right, but divine mercy and according to divine plan. That's what I would summarize it. Do the Jewish people have a divine right to the land at this moment? Maybe not. But we have divine mercy on our side and the divine plan of God, bringing the Jewish people back first in a state of belief, unbelief, to our ancient homeland. Well, I'm looking forward to John Piper's response that just was published today in Christianity Today. And I think it's only fair, Rabbi Glenn, if we analyze John's response as well. What do you think?
I think it's a great idea, and I think people will enjoy Dr. Piper's response. He's not hostile. I think there's a difference on some things, but again, I think they will see a true Christian congeniality going there.
I agree. Rabbi Glenn, thank you for joining me today on Jesus Made Me Kosher over the phone, and let's do this again, maybe Lord willing, tomorrow or sometime early next week. You're listening to Rabbi Lauren and Rabbi Glenn. Thank you so much for joining us today on Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.